I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
For today's episode, I am going to read the full trigger warning page from the author Audrey Rush. The story contains the death industry, mental illness, suicide, ideations, attempts, flashbacks, forced incest without permission, necrophilia, abusive caregivers with extensive flashbacks, blackmail, murder. Furthermore, the couple indulges in dark games without permission, and the scenes include fear, spit, blood, water, other copious secretions, asphyxiation, and weapons.
Oh, wow.
Also, Jenna's getting married.
Yay, but Jenna's getting married.
All right, and I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Sydney Tobin, which, hey, girl, we've seen you on TikTok.
Yeah.
And it says, I love this podcast so much. Wednesday is my favorite day of the week because of you horny little rats. My best friend and I listen every week religiously. We even have your merch sweatshirts, and we wear them like a badge of honor. Thank you so much for the endless laughter and community you have created with your podcast. Sincerely, your fellow horny little rat. Sydney.
Thank you.
That's so sweet.
I know, it's so cute. Jenna would be dying over that comment if she was here.
Also, just a heads up, this is our last episode of 2025.
Oh my goodness.
And we'll be back on the first Wednesday of January 2026. We're taking a little break, our annual break.
For the holidays.
Yeah. And this week, we're telling Riley all about Grave Love by Audrey Rush, picked for us by Jenna.
Miss you, Jenna.
And starting off, we have our main male character, Blaze. He is sneaking into the mortuary that he works at to dispose of his latest victim. He passes an open fridge with a nude dead woman's body, and then he hears feminine moans. He follows the sound to the crematory, where he sees someone lying on the conveyor belt with a canvas bag over their head and noose tightened around their neck and their hand pleasuring themselves. Okay. So this girl's laying on a crematory conveyor belt, bag over her head, and just noose flicking the bean.
Right.
We all do that.
Yeah. Gotta get that nut.
You gotta.
He can tell she's wearing the woman's clothes from the freezer. And as he watches her come, he thinks that he could kill her, but she's not his usual victim type. And he ultimately leaves.
Good on him.
He's like, nah.
I only like blondes.
The next day, Blaze is digging a grave. So he's the groundskeeper and gravedigger for the funeral home / mortuary. When he sees the woman from last night pass by the break room window, he turns off his machine and follows her and watches her work. He's determined to learn her name, so he goes straight to their boss and is like, hey, crematory lady, what's her name?
Yeah, straight to the point.
Yep. He learns her name is Ren, and now he has a new obsession. Sometime later, he sneaks back into his boss's office, reads the whole employee file on Ren, and then snaps a photo of her license, and he then waits in the parking lot so he could begin his stalking.
Right.
Yeah. As one does. Later that night, he watches her park at the parking lot next door to the mortuary and then let herself in. She doesn't stay long, and then she's driving home, but he's got to continue the stalking, so he follows her and parks, waiting to ensure that she's asleep. Then he climbs into her window, sees that she's taken a little self-medicating cocktail for the night.
Like what?
Oh, like wine, Xanax, like a bunch of shit like you shouldn't be mixing.
Oh, okay.
She is asleep.
That's a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
He searches her things, sniffs her underwear, and then when he searches her nightstand, he sees her extra noose there. He leans over her, seeing the small bruising around her neck, and that really turns him on. So he has a new plan. He's going to blackmail her with the knowledge of her after-work activities in exchange for her teaching him how to operate the crematory so he can get rid of his victims faster.
Okay.
Oh, it gets better. Then he will also offer her the rush that she's been searching for, and that is the fine line between life and death. So he's like, she's clearly feeling some type of way, and I can help with that.
He's like, I kill people. I could kind of kill you.
Throughout the whole book, Ren is severely depressed, and it's a vicious cycle for her, and she really is going through just the motion in most of her days. At work the next day, her boss asks her to take an envelope to the new groundskeeper so she can go to a meeting. Ren agrees, but is annoyed that they hired a man when her boss specifically said that men don't belong in this business. She drops the paper envelope on the excavator seat, goes and has lunch while she ponders her existence for the 90th time that day when she spots him. He gets the envelope from the seat, waves at her, and she storms off. Blaze stalks Ren daily, all day long pretty much. On one particular stalking session, he waits as she leaves for work. Then he sneaks into her room and lays on her bed, jerking off.
Get out of there.
I feel like we've done so many books where they sneak in and jerk off in their bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't understand the thrill, but...
I don't want that to happen to me ever.
No.
He hears a car pull up, so he gets up and goes to the laundry room and hides in between like a little crevice by the washer and the dryer. He hides in that spot until Ren and her grandma, because she lives with her grandma, are asleep for the night. And then he goes back to her room.
Freak.
That's when he sees a note from her grandma expecting to get her tuition payment in full next time. So he kind of pieces a little bit of her life together. She owes her grandma money for tuition, not paying it in full.
Okay.
Now he wants to see what grandma looks like. So he sneaks into her room and stands over her with his switchblade pulled out, but he never kills her.
Ren is too interesting to waste. I'll make my connection with her, then kill her. And if I'm not satisfied, there's always her grandmother.
There's always that.
Always. Yeah.
Well, her grandma sucks. So like...
Yeah, her grandma's not a good person.
Oh, kill her.
Before he leaves for the night, he goes back to Ren's room and cuts a piece of her hair off. He also pockets all of the pills on her nightstand so she can't toe the line between life and death. He wants to be the one that ends her life. The next day, Ren gets home ready for her little cocktail and every single pill is gone. She tries to text her grandma asking for a Xanax refill because none of the medicine's hers. It's all her grandma's. She's like, Grandma, please get me more Xanax.
I would just go in grandma's little room and say, look.
They're all gone. Every pill in the house.
Oh,
he was thorough.
He was.
Ren knows that she needs some type of fix to sleep tonight, though, so she packs up her noose and hits the mortuary.
What does she do when she puts it on? Is it just resting on her neck, or is she pulling it?
Pulling.
She pulls it. Okay.
She has bruises around her neck and stuff.
And she masturbates at the same time.
With the bag on her head, yes.
I feel like that's probably common.
She's just a squirrel trying to get her nut.
Yeah.
To each their own. Get it.
She gets there around midnight and pulls the clothes off a corpse her age, folds her clothes neatly, and then heads to the conveyor belt to start her routine.
I see a figure, a man so overpowering that I don't have a choice. His dick impales me, tears bursting from my eyes no matter how hard I try to keep them inside. My eyes roll back and I pant as I reach my first climax. I tighten the rope slightly, my fingertips skimming across my mound, circling that sensitive bundle of nerves, the slickness of my sex dripping down my legs. I'm not dead, damn it, but he's going to kill me because he wants me, and there's nothing that I can do about it.
This is a fantasy.
Okay.
She wants someone to kill her while she comes.
Okay. Can't relate, but sick.
She wants to go out doing what she loves, and that's coming.
Go, girl.
She starts to picture Blaze in this fantasy, but before she can come again, the back door slams and someone walks in whistling. And she's like, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
It's over for me. As the whistling gets closer, she recognizes it as a male somehow and assumes it's Blaze since he's the only male working there. She does what any logical person would do and stays perfectly still, hoping he thinks she's just a dead body that she forgot to put away earlier.
She said, I'm dead.
Possum.
She does possum.
But imagine, like, if you just walked by and your coworker just left out a dead body. I'd be so mad.
He'd be like, oh, shit, I should probably burn this one.
Yeah.
And just start the conveyor belt.
I mean, she wants to die.
While she's coming, though.
Yeah.
As she's laying there, he grabs her ankle. Blaze mentions how she's still warm for a dead body, but he can work with that. And then she hears him unzip his pants and start to masturbate.
With one fist still running up and down his dick, he reaches under my dress, into my bra, then captures my breast with his free hand. Hard and unforgiving, pain shooting to my temples. I squeeze my eyes shut, so grateful for the bag over my head. I'm a toy that he's using. A sex doll. A body without a brain. An inanimate object. Why does it feel so good? A body is a body, he murmurs. And you've got such a nice pair of tits for a dead girl.
He squeezes her breast and her nipples harden. He comments that he didn't know dead girls' bodies reacted that way. But he's saying it like really sarcastically. So she's like, he knows it's me.
Crazy.
She continues to not break character. She's committed to the bit. She lays there like a corpse. Then he whips her titty out and starts sucking on it.
Abandoning his cock, both of his hands grip my breasts as he pulls them both out of the bra, smashing them together. His mouth switching between my nipples, suckling them like they're candy, like he's ravenous. Oh my god.
And she's just like, I'm dead.
I know. Like, is she making any noises at all?
No. She's just perfectly still. Now she really wants him to fuck her. And then she hears the rustle of fabric and he tells her that she's nothing but a lifeless cunt for him to use as he crawls on top of her.
All right.
He pulls her damp panties to the side and thrusts in. She somehow is still staying still, but she's loving every second of it. He says there's nothing better than a freshly dead woman's cunt other than being the one who gets to kill them. She has a fucked up epiphany and knows this is her new life's purpose.
Does she want to stay alive now?
No.
No.
Okay.
He comes and pulls out of her and she hears the condom snap off and he's gone. She waits a few minutes, pulls the canvas off of her, looks around, and she sees that he took all of her clothes. So she returns the dead woman's items and fishes out an outfit from the lost and found to wear home. As she walks out of the mortuary, she runs into Blaze and she tries to tell him that he's a thief. And he says, yeah, but you desecrate a dead body, steal their clothes, and then masturbate in them. So who's worse?
Yeah.
He has a point.
And so does she wear their clothes to, like, make herself feel more dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. She wants to, like, identify with the dead.
He tells her that he has a proposal for her. She's listening, and when he says that he's been watching her and knows that she wants to die, she starts to get upset and demands to get her clothes back. He says, nope.
It's simple, he says. He tilts his head. You want to be dead. I like torturing women. Let's be honest. I like killing them too. It's fun to fuck corpses. But you know, they don't quite react the way the living do. And I haven't been able to find a woman as satisfying to kill as my first. I'm changing my hunting criteria, I suppose. And that leads me to you. Okay. He's like, I want to fuck you and then I want to kill you. How do you feel about it?
She says, and I want to die while I get fucked. It's perfect. A match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven.
He lets her know to think about the offer very carefully because he has video evidence of her little late night mortuary trips after hours.
Be my fuck toy and I'll kill you when you least expect it, he says. Teach me to use the retorts while we're at it. That way we both get what we want. Yeah, deal's a deal.
She wants to agree because she's fucked up and likes the idea, but ultimately tells him to go to hell. As she walks away, he tells her to think on it. Later, when he knows she's back in bed asleep, he goes to her house, watches her sleep, crawls under the bed when he hears her grandma wake up. But that doesn't stop him from being super horny.
I unzip my pants. My fat dick springs forward. the tips scratching against the jagged bed springs above me. I rub my palm along my length, using the dry friction, my fist pumping into the coils each time I reach the head.
Ow.
Yeah.
Sounds scratchy.
It does sound scratchy. And dry, how do you move it? How do you move your hand? I feel like it just gets
You're
stuck.
You're gonna chafe.
I think he likes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a freak.
Mm-hmm. Just you wait.
Oh, God.
He comes, cleans himself off with one of her sweaters. Rude.
Yeah, that is rude.
He'd be like, why is my sweater crunchy?
Yeah. What the fuck?
He puts some of his cum on her lips and then goes home. Once he's at home, he opens his little treasure chest and admires her dark pieces of hair against the three other bright blonde ones. He knows that Ren is ultimately going to accept his offer and be his fourth victim. Ren wakes up from her self-medicating situation, hungover as fuck, and that's when she realizes she's in a casket at work.
Oh.
She opens the lid and sneaks back to her house so she can shower and then heads back. She has absolutely no recollection of how she got into the casket in the first place. As she walks back into the funeral home, an old couple inside comments about how it smells like piss in this place, and she thinks back to her night with Blaze.
Did one of them piss? My skin heats. He's standing right where Blaze and I had sex last night, where he choked me while I came, where I squirted all over him. Oh.
It's not piss.
What is it?
I don't know.
Mystery fluid. Substance.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the break room and Denise tells her about the possible rat problems. Blaze told her that they might have rat problems and they might be pissing in the caskets because that's the only logical explanation.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the only reason it would smell like piss in here.
A couple hours later, Blaze brings her coffee. She tells him that she's in on the agreement but has a question.
You told her the smell was a rat, I ask. I couldn't tell her you came like a burst pipe now, could I? He couldn't.
She's embarrassed, but says for their agreement to work, she needs to know a little bit more about him. And then she asks the ultimate question. When did you start killing? He tells her about his fucked up childhood and the abuse he endured by the hands of his own drug addict mother and the men that she brought around. But during all the abuse, something clicked for him, and that's when the sadistic tendencies kicked in. It ultimately led to him...
Oh no.
Fucking his mom's drug-induced unconscious body as a power move to show her how it felt for him as a child. But he took it a step further and killed her as he did it.
Ah.
And that's how he knows that a body can still orgasm on the brink of death.
Holy
by
fuck.
By fucking mommy dearest.
Ew, 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 ew.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And she like woke up and realized it was him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because his mom used to let these nasty dudes come into the house and, like, do whatever they wanted to Blaze.
Yeah, in exchange for drugs.
Uh-huh. So he's like, I'll show you what it's like to be fucked, mommy.
Yeah, I'll fuck my mom.
Yeah. Power move.
All right.
And he tells Ren that's what he wants to give to her, to come while she gets killed. She's like, okay. Literally unfazed.
Yeah, they're like made for each other. How did you two find each other?
The next day, Blaze's brother drops off a bunch of drugs so Blaze can help his friend with an assisted suicide. An hour later, he picks her up from her grandma's house, but they don't leave before he gives her grandma a piece of his mind for verbally abusing her granddaughter all of these years. The two leave her grandma speechless on the porch steps and drive to the middle of nowhere. He drives them down a dirt road to a house that looks abandoned, and he forces her to walk to the backyard, stopping her at a hole in the ground with a casket in it. What he doesn't tell her is that this is his childhood home. He just tells her to strip to her underwear and climb in. She's hesitant, but ultimately does as he says, and then she starts to cry as he nails the coffin shut.
Oh my God. The only way you're getting out of that coffin is if you come, or if you beg for your life, he says. Your choice. Girl, beg.
The panic sets in as she hears dirt hit the lid. She tries to frantically rub one out, but it's not happening, and she's panicking more and finally starts begging for him to let her out. He lifts the lid up, pulls her out by her hair, and puts her on all fours on the ground.
My nails dig into the earth, greedy for it, and he smacks my pussy from behind. What's with the pussy smacking?
He moves her panties to the side and plays with her until she's wet.
Yes, he howls. Give me that sloppy cunt. Sloppy.
Don't call me sloppy.
I know.
He flips her back over and shoves his dick into her mouth, coming down her throat. He gets her cleaned up and dressed and then leads her to another grave with a dug up body in the tree line. He tells her that this is going to be her soon and he wants to make sure she actually understands that because ultimately she will just be another body nobody cares about.
Oh my God.
Some time passes and Blaze and Ren are fucking like rabbits. Crazy, sadistic rabbits. In their downtime, she shows them how to work the crematory. Blaze is getting a little sketched out that they're almost acting like a couple, even though they have a deal that he's gonna take her life. One evening at work, Blaze is digging a grave when his brother shows up asking if the girl he got the drugs for is still alive, and Blaze is annoyed at the question but says yes. He hands Blaze a bottle full of strong-ass sedatives just in case, and then Ren walks toward them. His brother asks who that is, and he says, Ren Kono. And now he's like, fuck, she's not just a corpse. She's a woman with a name.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. You knew she was those things.
She was that the whole time.
His brother's like, that's the girl, huh? And Blaze tries to deny it. His brother buys it and says, good, before leaving again. And now Blaze is so aggravated that he needs Ren now. He walks up to her and grabs her by the arm, telling her to sit with him in the grass. They sit and watch the waves roll up the beach for a while, and then Ren starts to open up to him about her family. How she broke her leg masturbating in the shower once, and her grandma didn't believe her that she was actually injured and still made her go to school. And how she never knew her mom before her mom hung herself. And she thinks that's where her sadistic tendencies started. Because I guess when she was a toddler, her mom hung herself in front of her.
Oh my God.
She tells him she had a boyfriend once, but he never got her wet, not like Blaze does. But she thought maybe she was just lucky to even have a boyfriend. Her boyfriend even told her that she was the only girl who could make his headaches go away by sucking his dick, and that gave her purpose.
All right, girl.
They eventually got engaged, and he forced her to go to the doctor to find out why she was dry as a bone, but it turns out it was all in her head, and Blaze is the cure. Now Blaze is thinking about how that asshole never even cared to take the time to worry about Ren's needs.
Yeah, he didn't choke her or hang her with a noose or anything.
Yeah.
She tells him that she dropped out of graduate school because she used to jerk off in her office, and then her fiancé snuck in and took a video of her with a rope around her neck and spread it to all of her classmates. The dean asked her to drop out, and her grandmother demanded the tuition money back because she was so embarrassed by Ren.
I mean, yeah.
Blaze asks if people like that are what made her feel like she needs to die because she feels like she's not good enough. She asks him why he wants to live, and he says he'll show her. They get in his car and he drives her toward the woods, where he shines his headlights on a very specific tree. It has a noose hanging from it. He grabs a stool and places it underneath, and for a second, he thinks about gently offering his hand to guide her, but he's like, nah, that's not me. So he yanks her out of the car by her hair.
Okay.
He's like, I'm not a nice guy. Yoink.
All right.
He puts her in a chokehold until she passes out and then cuffs her hands before putting her neck in the noose.
Then, on my knees, I put my hand down her leggings, playing with her pussy. She's sopping wet, the sloppy little bitch, that fear driving her deeper into the madness, into me. I roll my neck, desire shuddering through me. She's insatiable, my little corpse, and fuck, I want her. Oh my gosh. Sloppy little bitch.
I would cry.
Yeah. I don't like the sloppy.
No. Please stop saying that to me.
She wakes up after she's all restrained and he shines his phone camera in her face, telling her to list every reason she wants to die for the video. And then she's going to tell the camera that she asked for him to kill her. She starts to get mad and he's like, fine, then call the arrangement off. But she doesn't. As she lists off all of her reasons, he pulls his dick out and starts to jerk it. Then he walks up to her in the noose, standing on the stool, but instead of kicking it out from under her, he decides he's gonna do something else.
I stand, slowly lifting her thigh with my free hand, exposing her juicy, hairy cunt. She's at the perfect height, high enough for me to fuck her, and high enough that there's a very real possibility that she'll break her neck. Even though I'm standing now, I can see the headlights shining on the glimmering arousal dripping down her inner thighs. My mouth salivates. Her scent snakes in through the pine trees, heady and sour, and so fucking addictive.
He grabs her and pulls her off the stool and starts to fuck her while the noose strangles her. He lets her swing from the rope for a second just to see what she does while he's still fucking her, and then he pulls out a knife and cuts her down and keeps on fucking her in the dirt as she hits the ground. He tells her that she's just a dead whore and she's nothing, but nothing can't fail and nothing can't disappoint. So like, cute little pep talk. He's like, you're nothing. But like, nobody expects anything from nothing, so go off, girl.
I mean, yeah. I guess that would make me feel better.
Yeah. Then they both come together and fall to the ground totally spent. He starts to massage her bruised neck and she curls into him, falling asleep. The next day, Blaze calls out of work because he can't get his mind off of Ren and how maybe he doesn't even want to kill her anymore. A few hours later, he decides to pay her a visit and she's like, hey, what are you doing here? I thought you called out. And he's like, fine, I'll fuck off then. And she's like, what the fuck?
Such a boy.
He's spiraling because he's actually starting to care for her. He storms back out of the building and tells himself he needs to kill something. He does some sleuthing and finds out that her ex-fiance's name is Arnold Weber. He tracks Arnold down at a bar where the sleazeball is telling the bartender she should smile more.
Ew.
I know.
I hate that.
He watches for a while and then follows a drunk Arnold out to his car where he lunges and stabs him with a syringe to knock him out. Blaze brings Arnold to the grave that he fucked Ren inside of and drops him in. He jumps in the grave on top of Arnold and starts ruminating on his mom, and he's just filled with rage. As soon as Arnold wakes up, Blaze stabs him in the stomach over and over and over again.
I even pull the blade down and split open his stomach, thread his intestines through my fingers like seaweed on the beach. His organs are hot, slippery like jellyfish. My dick throbs as I look down at him, but all I see is Ren.
Cute.
All he sees is Ren. Aww. He finds a rogue water bottle and dumps it out and then hoists Arnold up to pour blood and guts into it so he can use it later for God knows what.
I cap the bottle, then use the extra blood on my palms to fuck myself. Red stains cover my pants. My dick hard as a rock. The blood is warm, like Ren's cunt, like safety, like knowing that I'm the last thing she'll ever need. I come quickly, ejaculating on his corpse. Then the post-orgasm clarity comes to me, catching in my throat.
Yeah, what kind of post-orgasm clarity do you have?
He's like, damn.
That wasn't even a chick.
Yeah. Then he realizes he's collecting this blood for Ren, and now he wants more. He drags Arnold inside and hangs him up by his ankles to drain the body. He texts Ren to meet him at the cemetery at midnight. She gets there early just as he's preheating the crematory, and he tells her he has a present for her, but first she has to get naked and lie on the table. Then he pulls out the water bottle and splashes her with the contents, and she's like, what is that? And he says, you know what it is, love. And she's torn between it being unsanitary and the fact that he just called her love, because he's been calling her like sloppy bitch, corpse, whore.
Yeah.
What are we? He rubs the gloopy blood all over her stomach and gives her a nice little massage with it.
Stop. Gloopy?
Gloopy.
The liquid is cold. His fingers are damp, slightly pruny from being soaked in liquid. He uses the blood to tease the ridges of my ass. His eyes locked on me, his mouth open, waiting for my reaction. A chill runs down my spine. It's blood. He's using someone's blood as lubricant for ass play. The way I'd throw up. I'd be like, bleh.
I mean, yeah, because like she wants to die, but I don't know if she's into this.
She never fucking said, yeah, I'm into killing people. I'm into other people's like bodily fluid. Did she? I don't know. Did I miss that?
No, she never said that.
All she said was she liked to like masturbate and like toe the line of death.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh, blood and guts.
On her ass.
He's finger popping her asshole and she tells him how good it feels. He asks if she likes it and she says yes. He rips all his clothes off and pulls her to the edge of the table and then uses more blood as lube to fuck her ass. As he fucks her, he tells her what a depraved little whore she is for liking this so much, and she just nods her head. He starts to finger her and tells her what a dirty little bitch she is and demands that she beg him not to kill her, so she does while playing with her clit.
There's no problem with natural lubrication, he says. He digs a second finger into my cunt, his dick still riding in my ass, against that thin wall of flesh. My mind flashes to my ex, and I glance at the hallway toward the crematory. Is that who is burning right now? Is that the blood we're bathing in? Does it matter? I don't know. Does it matter?
Clearly not.
She comes, and then he grabs the bottle and dumps the rest of the blood over both of their faces, and they both come together.
Oh, on their faces?
Yeah. Their faces.
Ugh.
Ren eventually goes home while Blaze cleans up the mess, and he's completely losing it now. He ignores Ren at work and tells himself he needs to fuck and kill something. He goes to the bar that night to scope out what he can find. He sees someone who looks slightly like Ren, so he drugs her and brings her back to his house. But he can't get hard, and he doesn't even want to kill this random girl. He only wants Ren, so he just shoots her in the head.
Oh my god.
So he still kills her.
But he doesn't fuck her.
No, because he can't get a bony.
Then he calls out of work for the next few days. Ren is worried as heck about him, so she goes to his house. He's acting all distant at first, but eventually invites her in and says they can order takeout. They eat pizza together in companionable silence, and then she excuses herself to the bathroom. On her way back down the hallway, she stumbles across his weapon room and starts eyeballing a pistol, but Blaze walks up behind her and says, "Go on, take it." He forces it in her hand and then starts to play her suicide note video on the TV on max volume.
Oh my god.
It's like a dark ass room and it's just blaring as she's listing all the reasons she wants to die in this video.
He shoves me over the bed and the gun falls to the mattress. I stare at it, the sobs crowding my throat as he licks my ass, his fat tongue darting in my hole, my arousal dripping between my thighs. Abruptly, he shifts our bodies, changing us around and lifting me until I'm straddling his lap. We sit on the edge of the bed, me on top. He lowers my hips onto his cock, impaling my ass like a piece of meat on a rack. His cock cuts through me, shreds me in two. My throat burns. Wait, is that just anal with nothing?
I mean, he did lick her asshole.
Oh. That's not enough.
No.
Well, with his fat tongue.
He tells her she's gonna come for him before she dies and puts the gun back in her hand, forcing it against her temple. He starts to count down from five, but she knows she doesn't want to go out like this. And just as he reaches one, he uses his other hand to choke her hard, and they both come. But then she realizes she's still alive.
Blaze removes his cock slowly, his cum dripping out of my gaping hole. A flicker of emotion washes over his eyes as he studies me. The corners of his face wrinkles in pride, warmth. Is it joy? He bends down, crawling on top of my exhausted body. Then he presses his lips to mine.
It's their first kiss.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Cute.
Oh,
that is cute.
She starts to cry hysterically as they make out, and then he puts his dick in her ass again.
Why not her vagina? I love seeing you cry, he interrupts. You're such a wreck, a beautiful fucking mess. He pumps inside of me harder, his cock twitching, digging out my heart. I close my eyes, letting it overwhelm me. He slaps my face again, bringing my attention back to him. You're my fucking mess, my bloody little corpse. You hear that, Ren? You're mine, until the day you die, for the days after, until both of us are worm food, and the world doesn't remember us anymore. You are mine.
Aww. Cute. Told you there's romance.
Oh, yeah, that is romance.
She comes, he comes. It's beautiful. They cuddle for a bit while she cries, and then he gets up and grabs a metal choke collar, placing it around her neck, and they both fall asleep. The next morning, they both miss work, and Ren wakes up around noon to Blaze bringing her a cup of coffee. They both know the deal is off, and they even feel some form of happiness together.
Oh.
He drops her back off at home and insists that she calls him later. She lays in bed for a little bit, thinking about how much things have changed for both of them, and then there's a knock at the door. It's Blaze's brother introducing himself as a doctor and inquires about her wish for an assisted suicide. He shows her the drug she can administer herself and tells her it should be her call, not Blaze's, and to call him if she decides she wants them. He gives her his business card and then he leaves. A few hours later, Blaze calls and asks her to come back over, so she gets in the car, but on the way, she starts to panic about what's going on with everything, and she parks her car, giving Blaze's brother a call, and makes a plan to meet up for the drugs.
My god, does his brother hate him?
No, he just doesn't agree with, like, him killing people, which his brother knows.
Oh, that's fucking wild.
Yeah. His brother helped cover up the mom thing.
Well, did his brother, like, agree with the mom thing?
No.
His brother was like the golden child. So when Blaze was telling his brother that his mom was super abusive, his brother was like, she's not that bad.
Yeah.
He's older too, so he got to move out of the house quicker and stuff and left Blaze there.
Oh, gotcha.
He gives her the drugs and she heads over to Blaze's house. She parks in the driveway and pulls out one of the lozenges, because I guess it's like a sedative lozenge, basically a lollipop that you suck and then you die.
Yeah, if you eat the whole thing, you're like done for.
But she immediately takes it back out. The world starts to spin and Blaze opens her door. He can see that she's reached a decision about dying and asks if she's ready, and she says she is, so he puts her collar back on her. He brings her inside and gets her on the bed, where he immediately starts fucking her and they both come. She passes out immediately after, and now he's like, she took something, what the hell? Because he thought she was just ready to die. And then when she passed out, he's like, oh, she's like hella drugged right now. Now he's panicking that she's dying for real, and he calls his brother for help. His brother gets there with a quickness, but acts like he doesn't know what she could have taken, and then suggests they bring Ren to the hospital. But Blaze isn't buying it, and now he knows in his gut that his brother gave Ren the drugs and that she took them. Blaze punches him square in the face and warns his brother to get the fuck out of here before he kills him. Eventually, Ren wakes up and Blaze is furious that she'd do this without him because it was supposed to be him taking her life. That's like his main thing. It's like, if you're gonna die, I'm gonna kill you.
But also, your guys' deal was off.
They never explicitly said that. And the thing was, she wasn't allowed to kill herself until her birthday. And if he doesn't kill her by then, he'll give her the drugs to do it herself. And it's not her birthday yet.
Oh, okay.
They spit nasty words back and forth, and eventually Ren starts to physically hit him before getting in her car to drive to the crematory. She realizes Blaze took all of her drugs, so she calls his brother for more, but he says that he doesn't have any more, but he can get some as long as she doesn't tell Blaze. Blaze goes to find her at the crematory and watches as she pulls out of the parking lot. He tails her until they both wind up pulling over on the side of the road. He gets out and she's super confused as to why he's here, but he just slams a bag over her head and throws her in the trunk of his car and cuffs her hands.
Oh my god.
Says gotcha.
This is the third act breakup.
Please.
He drives home and carries her flailing inside the bathroom. Then he opens the toilet and dunks her head inside.
Oh my god.
He gives her a few swirlies and then pulls his dick out and starts to fuck her. But it's not like how it normally is. She isn't responding to him the way she normally does when they do this kind of thing. He tells her she wants to fucking live and he's the one that showed her that. He picks her up and brings her to the room before restraining her wrist to his bedpost, but not before she punches him square in the nose.
Get him.
She's screaming at him, and then his brother walks in. Blaze grabs his gun, and the brothers tussle, but Blaze shoots him right in the forehead. Rest in peace, brother.
Oh my gosh. I feel like all I've said this episode is, oh my god.
Now Ren is pissed because he killed his own brother, but he won't kill her.
I mean, honestly.
She was like, you said you would do this.
Yeah.
She accuses him of caring about her so much he can't even kill her. And he says, don't you get it? You're everything to me.
Oh,
yeah, cute. Obviously. He does care about you.
He walks out of the room and collapses on the couch as Ren frees herself from the bed and walks out the front door. Blaze silently begs her to stay, but she doesn't. Some time passes and Ren is just going through the motions. She's completely empty inside. Blaze quits his job and a new gravedigger is hired. She goes home after work one day and realizes it's her birthday. She was supposed to be dead by now. That was her deal with Blaze. Now she doesn't have him, and all she wants is to have him back. Blaze is equally miserable. He even kills a random woman to get his urges out, but it just isn't the same. He only wants Ren. He loves her.
Aww.
One night, Ren stays late at work, and Blaze pays her a visit with a plethora of death tools, telling her it's her choice, but she needs to decide if it's even what she wants anymore. She says she can do it herself. He'll fuck her, but he won't kill her, because he's choosing her for life. He confesses his love for her. She breaks down and tells him she wants to live with him, and he holds her while she cries. The end.
Wow.
I know.
Oh my goodness. I did like that, but wow, heavy.
Yeah. How'd it make you feel?
You know, I did like it. I did. I liked the story. I don't know. I have to sit on this one for a little bit.
Do you think Blaze is sexy?
No.
Would you trade places with Ren?
Oh my god, no. I want to live, baby. That sounds so scary. Also, I also don't want to get fucked in my ass without any sort of lubrication. A little bit of spit doesn't count any more than that.
He used like an entire water bottle full of blood and guts. Well, we did it. We did season 3.
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah, come on back for season 4 in January 2026.
That is absolutely insane.
But you guys can come hang out with us on Instagram. We're like always on Instagram.
Always there.
Yeah.
And shoot us your book recommendations for next season.
Yeah, please do that. We love you.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.